So what is the meaning of Christmas? That's a really good question. What is the meaning of Christmas? I like and enjoy pretty much everything that goes along with Christmas, for the most part. There are some things that I don't, probably like all of you. I like that. I'm not so sure about this over here. I like the trees, lights. I like the food that goes along with Christmas, probably too much. But the candy, the presents, even the shopping a little bit, although that maybe is not a part that I don't like as much. Time with family, I enjoy that. Poinsettias, love those. Christmas clothing, which I don't prefer to call, or I don't like to call, what has now become as ugly sweaters. I think a lot of the Christmas sweaters are very creative and very nice, and I don't think they're necessarily ugly. Christmas ties are another thing. I have about 25. Over the years, I've accumulated that many. Some of them play music, which that would fall into, I like Christmas for the most part. That would fall into that category of I don't like that. I'm not really big on ties that play music or that have lights on them. But I do have a few of those. I don't wear them very often, hardly ever. But I do have them. I enjoy the season. I enjoy it a lot. The music, that's another part of it. I love the music. I think some of the best music may ever produced, ever written, ever performed is Christmas music. I think it says something about the meaning of Christmas when just about every single musician has at least one Christmas album. At least. Doesn't mean all the songs are good, but you know, there are some I can do without, probably much like you. So I enjoy Christmas. I like pretty much everything about it. But growing up, I didn't understand what Christmas was all about. I had no idea. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Not anti-religious, just not hostile, but secular. It just wasn't a part of our lives. So I didn't have really any understanding of why from the day after Thanksgiving through Christmas and maybe even through the New Year, why all of this was going on. Why were there lights everywhere? Why the trees? Why the presents? Why Santa Claus, basically? What does this mean? Why are we doing this? There was, however, one thing that began to give me an idea of what this is all about. What is the meaning? The Charlie Brown Christmas special on TV, which we would watch every year. Every single year, we'd gather around the TV set, and I remember it from, I think the first time it ran was 1963. I don't remember that, but I do remember very early in my life, that was part of Christmas, was watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special. We also watched the Grinch cartoon, and now I can't remember its name all of a sudden. The one with Burl Ives. Rudolph. Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This snowman, I can't even remember. It was a Yukon somebody who was Burl Ives. I just love that. You know, he'd ride around on the little Gillette razor or whatever, or shaver or whatever it was. I just love that. But the Charlie Brown Christmas special in particular, I enjoyed. And that is where I began to get an idea of what Christmas was about. And it came from that little section that CBS fought Charles Schulz because they wanted him to take it out. The part where Linus comes on to center stage. The only time he ever dropped his blanket in all of Charlie Brown history, that time. The security blanket dropped. And then he said, he quoted Luke 2, part of Luke 2, and said, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And I remember that. Now, it isn't a full answer, but it opened the door for a kid who grew up in a non-Christian home. It opened the door to what this means. I looked for something. I couldn't find it. I have a framed picture of a draw or of that, basically, of Linus saying his lines. I've got someone in the first church that I pastored made put together a picture and framed it and signed it and the whole thing. Well, because of what moving tends to create, I couldn't find it right away, but I've got a picture of that because it meant so much to me. Okay, I remember that. That's interesting. There's something behind this. There's something more. Well, let's take that door that was open for me and let's throw it wide open this morning and see what God has to say about the meaning of Christmas. Would you please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. If you have a hard time finding that, it is the first book in the New Testament. First of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 1. And I'll read verses 18 through 25. This is the Word of God. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the one who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this took place in order that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets would be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph got up from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, would you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts as we look at your word and understand it, and then, Lord, may we act on it. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this won't be a full exposition of this passage, like I normally do. I want to look at two names. The two names of Jesus which are given, or the two names of our Lord, which are given here by Matthew. And those two names give us the meaning of Christmas. They begin to open the door to it. There's more, but these two really help. The meaning of Christmas is found in who Jesus is and what He came to do. And we'll look first at what Jesus came to do. Now we find that in verse 21, where it says, where Matthew says, or this is the angel speaking to Joseph, and she, that is Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now first, you'll notice that there are two names given in this passage, Jesus and Emmanuel. Well, why are there two names given? Some people have even tried to point out that this is a contradiction in Scripture, which it is not. Jesus lets us know what Jesus did. Emmanuel lets us know who He is. There are different aspects of His character and ministry. The meaning of the name Jesus is Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, or Yeshua. Jesus is our Savior. He rescues. He delivers. And that name is very critical to the mission that He has, to be the Savior. What does Luke 2:11 say? For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John 1:29, John the Baptist says something very similar. On the next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's a Savior. In Acts 13:23, the Apostle Paul speaking, From the seed of this man, it's David, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. This is what Jesus came to do, to be a Savior for us. And that is what He is. That is what He has done. Now I want us to see also what specifically Jesus came to do, what the Savior came to do. The next part, or the last part of verse 21. For He will save His people from their sins. He will save His people from their sins. Sin is our greatest problem. It is not a lack of education or money, a lack of money, a lack of purpose. That is not it at all. It is not a lack of self-esteem. Our greatest problem is sin. Because what that does is it separates us and alienates us from God. We need someone who will save us from the guilt of sin and the power of sin, and that is Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. And because of the death of Christ, all of the sins of all of God's people have been forgiven. Jesus saves us from several things. He saves us from the power of Satan, bondage to Satan. He saves us from death, ultimately. Yes, Christians still die, but death no longer has the final word. There is life beyond death, and there is resurrection. Finally, Jesus saves us from the wrath of God Himself. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, beginning in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Paul is writing to this church in the town of Thessalonica. And what he's saying is, "For they themselves report to us, or report about us, what kind of entrance we had with you, and how you," this is the Thessalonians, "turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God." And then verse 10, "to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Whose wrath is that? God's wrath. We're saved not only from our sin, from Satan, from hell, from death. We're also saved, we're rescued and delivered from God the Father Himself. God's wrath is His holy, righteous, perfect, eternal anger against sin. And He will punish it. He is actively opposed to sin. And He will punish it. We are sinners in need of salvation. Part of that means we have to admit that we're sinners if we are to be saved. We have to admit that we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to fix the problem. Jesus is the only one who can save us because He is truly God and truly man. He's the only one who can do that. So whom does Jesus save? Verse 21 says, He will save His people from their sins. His people. On the cross, Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for the sins of His people. All of the sins of the elect were imputed, were credited to Christ on the cross. And in John 10, in verses 1 through 18, we're not going to read that, but what Jesus says is, He says that He is the great shepherd. He lays down His life for the sheep, for His sheep. He will save His people from their sins. Jesus is the Savior, brings salvation. Salvation has three tenses. You may have heard it put this way before. The Lord Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin. That penalty's gone. He is saving. That was in the past. He is saving us from the power of sin in sanctification. He's making us more and more holy. And ultimately, in the future, He will save us from the presence of sin. When we are with Him, in His presence fully, even the presence of sin will be gone. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day tremendously. When not sin won't even be present. That will be amazing. So we can understand the meaning of Christmas by understanding what Jesus came to do. To save His people from their sins. The meaning of Christmas is also found, secondly, in who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. And we see that in verses 22 and 23. Now all this took place in order that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin," and this is a quote from Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Now we shouldn't pass over the idea here, the truth of fulfilled prophecy. Sometimes we might do that a little bit too quickly. Old Testament prophecies indicated, and these are just a few of them, that the Messiah, the Savior, would be born of a woman. That's Genesis 3:15. He would be born of the seed of Abraham. Genesis 22:18. He would come through the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10. Of the family of David. 2 Samuel 7:12 and 13. You notice that it's getting narrower as time goes by. Very broad at the beginning, but it's narrowing down. And in Isaiah 7:14, that he would be born of a virgin. And that's what we come to now, is this fulfillment of prophecy. Fulfillment of prophecy. One of the biggest parts of Christmas that we sometimes neglect is the fulfillment of prophecy. Think about how many prophecies were fulfilled simply in the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth, early childhood, his lineage, all of these things added up together. We miss that, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't miss that. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. It was prophesied. It was predicted. Sometimes hundreds, if not thousands of years before the actual event took place. This name, Emmanuel, they shall call his name Emmanuel. In some of your Bibles, it begins with an E, and in some it begins with an I. Either of those are acceptable. Emmanuel is the Greek transliteration. Emmanuel, beginning with an I, is the Hebrew. Either of those are fine, I or E. So what does the word mean? Well, we don't have to go very far to find out what the word means. In fact, we don't even have to go, you wouldn't even have to go back into my study, which I'm not sure I have that in my study yet, but the Hebrew lexicon, and turn to the page and try to figure out the script and come and find the definition, God with us, because verse 23 tells us what that means. Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I love it when one of the biblical authors does that. Which translated means, I love that. It means God with us. That tells us who Jesus is. He is the incarnate God present with us. Incarnate means God in human flesh. He took on humanity. And he's now present with us. It's one of the most amazing miracles of Christmas, as we think about it. That God, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus, took on human flesh and entered humanity, entered this world as a baby, grown into a man after that. This is an incredibly important truth. Jesus is God with us. It's a precious truth. He is not only God, deity, but he's with us. He's present. It's interesting that the Gospel of Matthew, one of the beginning declarations, is here in verse 23 regarding Jesus. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's how the Gospel of Matthew, for the most part, begins. How does the Gospel of Matthew end? Matthew 28, verse 20. Actually, I'll quote the entire section. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. That's how the gospel ends. It begins with Jesus being Emmanuel, present with us, God with us. And it ends in exactly that way, the same way. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And who is this who is with us to the end of the age? As he said in verse 18 of Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is Lord and King, and he is with us. That should be an incredibly precious truth. No matter where we are, he's with us. No matter what our circumstances are, he's with us. In the highest heights, he's with us. In the lowest lows, he's with us. Everywhere in between, he is with us. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's part of what it is to be God with us. One writer has said this, to answer the question, well, how? He is with us through his Spirit, in his Word, by his providential care, and with his divine presence. This is the promise that carried David Livingstone into the heart of darkest Africa and that encouraged and enabled messengers of Christ down through the years. Emmanuel is an anchor to your soul when the winds of trial blow. And J.C. Ryle, one of my very favorites, says that Emmanuel promises to be with us daily, to pardon and forgive, to sanctify and to strengthen, with us daily to defend and keep, with us daily to lead and guide, with us in sorrow and with us in joy, with us in sickness and with us in health, with us in life and with us in death, with us in time and with us in eternity. Jesus is God with us all the time, in every place, in all circumstances. We ought to praise God for that. He is with us. So there is no place on earth or no situation on earth where we can say, this is God forsaken. We can't. He's there because he's with us. And if we're there, he is with us no matter what. The meaning of Christmas is found in who Jesus is, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, even as Christians, we can sometimes miss the point of Christmas. We do that sometimes when we're not careful, when we get lost under all of the other things that go along during this season. Someone has written this. We can become so enchanted with the story of a baby that we grow sentimental about it. Because he says that story does not ask us to do anything about it. It doesn't demand any vital change in our way of life, our way of thinking. The great question for us is this. Is our Christmas still only a story about a baby, or is it more? Is it a story about a person into whom the baby grew, who saves his people from their sins, and who is Lord and King? So we have to ask ourselves, which one is it for us, or is it somewhere in between? Do we understand the meaning of Christmas? Do we still think of Christmas as baby Jesus in a manger? That's about as far as it goes. And we can get kind of sentimental about that. Gives us goosebumps and makes us feel emotional and that type of thing. Or is it something more? And it is something more. It is something far more than that. Jesus is the meaning. Jesus is far more than that. And Christmas is far more than that. It is about the one who came to save us from our sins. Not to stay a baby in the manger. And then one who is Emmanuel, God with us. But also one who will come as judge. Not just Savior, but judge as well at the end of time. That is what we need to think about with Christmas. Use Christmas this year, and this is a good idea every year. Use Christmas to open up spiritual conversations. People usually seem to be more open to it. And it doesn't have to be anything forced. It doesn't have to be anything necessarily planned out. But you will find people curious, people interested. Use this time. It's a great time. Because people are normally they're somewhat more open. The meaning of Christmas from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. The meaning of Christmas is found in who Jesus is, Emmanuel, God with us, and what he came to do, to save his people from their sins. And that's what Christmas is all about. Charlie Brown, for his glory and our good. Amen.